Please join in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Psalm 4. Listen to God's word for us. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are angry, do not sin. Ponder in your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when the grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, the Lord, make me lie down in safety." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Praise God for the reading. Our New Testament reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Listen again for the word of the Lord. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of love and hope for our future, bless this word and empower me to speak your truth so all who might hear may believe in your love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for their salvation. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon title is We Are Children of God. 1 John is believed to be written by the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, although it does not say to whom, by name or location, this letter is written. We know it is believed to be written to the believers in Christ. We know this by the statements made throughout the letter, including chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 7, beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And also in our current reading, chapter 3, verse 1, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The purpose of this letter was to make the believers aware of false prophets and to encourage them in their salvation through Jesus Christ. In John's earlier or younger years, he traveled thousands of miles spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, forming many churches in many different regions. Now in his older years, John sought to affirm faith in Jesus Christ by combating the fall of some of the believers to Gnosticism. Gnosticism is the thought and practice, especially of various cults of the late pre-Christian and early Christian centuries, distinguished by the conviction that matter is evil and emancipation comes from gnosis, the Greek word for knowledge. While John's letter is not addressed to any specific group of people or church, I imagine this letter may have circulated among many of the churches as a warning to be on the lookout for false teachers and to stand their ground in accordance with the way of Jesus Christ. John's message to believers in 1 John 3, 1 through 10 is a reminder that as believers, they are beloved children of God and they must live as such. But there was a problem. Believers were falling away from faith in Christ. They were becoming immoral and disobedient to God's will in their lives. Their love for fellow believers had diminished, and their love for worldly things was ever increasing. You see, they were opening their hearts and minds to the teachings of others and abandoning the teachings of Jesus Christ. They had forgotten their anointing in the Holy One, who died for their sins and showed them the way to eternal life. They were no longer waiting on the Lord and living in the great anticipation of his return. They were living in the moment, falling for counterfeit teachers. They were being led astray like lost sheep into the darkness of the world and away from the amazing light and life of God in Jesus Christ. They had forgotten they were children of God, made in God's image, moving towards a future of eternal life, growing in the body of Christ. Do you know who and what you are? Are you children of God? Or have you fallen prey to false prophets? The Bible shows us how we take for granted the gracious love of God. In the book of Exodus, God lovingly brought his people out of slavery from Egypt. He provided manna from heaven when they were hungry and water when they were thirsty. He consecrated the people and summoned Moses to Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets inscribed by God's very own finger. But while Moses was with God, the people became restless waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. And in their restlessness, they cried out to Aaron to make them gods they could follow. And so an idol was made for them to worship while Moses was on Mount Sinai. How soon they forgot the loving God who brought them out of Egypt, who protected them during their journey and provided for them in their hunger and thirst. They forgot the fear of God. They forgot to keep God's commandments and in short time fell into idolatry and other sins against God. They forgot who they were, people of God, whom he rescued from slavery. Friends, don't forget God. God has provided the Bible for us so we never forget his endless love for us, for all of his people. 1 John chapter 3 explains to the believers in Christ that they are children of God and that what they will ultimately be in Christ has yet to be revealed. He encouraged them to take assurance in the fact that when Christ returns, they will be like him. John wanted them to know that being a believer is a process of becoming more and more like Christ. Romans 8 and 29 explains, "For those for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family." By knowing that they were in the process to become more like Christ, John hoped the believers would be motivated to stay the course and do what is right. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. John also wrote to these believers about the importance of being free from sin and the association between sin and the law. Anyone who sinned has neither seen or known God. This must have been a confusing message for the recipients of John's letter. I bet they thought, "Now wait, let me get this straight. I am a work in progress to be more like Christ, but I must be without sin. Otherwise, I don't really know God. How does that work?" Well, to be a work in progress means God knows his believers will sin now and again. It is human nature, but as long as you're working at being more like Christ, you are doing a good thing. Some Bible scholars suggest there is a difference between committing a sin and continuing in sin. Even the most faithful believers sometimes commit sin, but they do not cherish a particular sin and choose to commit it. A believer who commits sin repents, confesses, and finds forgiveness. On the other hand, a person who continues to sin is not sorry for what he or she is doing. Thus, this person never confesses and never receives forgiveness. Such a person is in opposition of God, no matter what religious claims he or she makes. So John assures the believers that Jesus came to take away sin, and the scripture testifies to this fact. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John wrote this letter to warn fellow believers to beware of deceivers. He inspired them to do what is right for the sake of righteousness, because sin comes from the devil, and the devil is real and has been sinning from the very beginning. Old, sinful habits would be hard to break. John knew the new believers would face many temptations. Some commentaries posit the believers' weaknesses would give the devil a foothold, so they would need to deal with their areas of vulnerability. These verses about sin were not for them. John was referring to people who make a practice of sinning and looking for ways to justify it. John knew and wanted them to know that all believers sin, but the goal was working towards victory over their sins. They were a work in progress. John affirms them, saying, "Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they have been born of God." Brothers and sisters, God wants us to know that we have the victory over sin, and we must live as though we have that victory. Our lives should reflect the fact that we are children of God. Are you children of God? And if so, does your life reflect it? One way you can show you are God's child is to seek God, seek after him through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you seek after God in everything that you do, you will make it hard for the devil to interfere in your life. But when he does interfere, because we know the devil does appear, you will have the strength to fight the temptations that are set in your path. I find strength in the way Jesus faced Satan's temptations. Satan tempted Jesus to turn stone into bread when he was hungry following a 40 days of fasting. 40 days. You know Jesus was hungry. Jesus answered with scripture in this way. It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus used scripture again when Satan tempted him to throw himself off a cliff and let the angels save him. Jesus just replied, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Friends, get to know the scripture, because you never know when they might come in handy as you fend off the temptations that will surely come in your life. Next, God is not done with you yet. You are a work in progress, so be patient. The world is watching how we live as Christians. It takes time and patience and practice to do the right thing on a daily basis. God knows you will not do the right thing at all times, but you can certainly try. Being courteous with one another, with friends and strangers alike, is how we show the world we are children of God. We live in a busy and fast-paced world, and the busier we are trying to do everything and to get everywhere fast, the more potential we have to be less courteous to one another. Let's face it. We live in a society where people get downright rude when service is not fast enough or there is a disruption to the flow of their day. That is the time when we need to stop. Say a breath prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, help me to be gracious in this moment. That is a time when we need to stop. And you will be amazed what a difference a breath prayer can make in a stressful situation. Take a time and think back to when you blew up about something or at someone and how different that moment may have turned out if you had only stopped to pray. A believer praying through a challenging moment is what a child of God looks like. Take a moment, pray, and let God help you through that moment. Psalm 4 illustrates the confidence that David, a son of God, had as he called on God for relief from distress. Sometimes the call is not answered right away. That is when a child of God silently waits to hear the response of the Lord and finds peace in knowing that there is a God who hears and answers prayers of distress. Then you can truly rejoice in God's response. Finally, a child of God is someone who seeks the support and provides support to others in the community of believers. When Jesus walked the earth, he taught his disciples how to live in the community. They traveled together. They had meals together. They served one another together. Jesus taught them to rely on him and to rely on one another and to share the gospel with everyone. And after the Lord Jesus departed this earth, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All who believed, who were together and had all things in common, they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with great joy and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Friends, God's love for us is so amazing that he sacrificed his one and only son for our sins. God's love is so amazing that he calls us his children, and we have the victory over sin. And 1 John tells us, if you continue to read in chapter 3, that not only does God love us and call us his children, freeing us from sin, but he teaches us to love one another and to find confidence in him. If you want confidence for yourself, if you want to be a part of this amazing love by God's grace and become a child of God, then accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's have a little talk about coming a member of God's beloved family and see how God, through Jesus Christ, can change your life. Brothers and sisters, this is the invitation to discipleship in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.